I have two good news items to start. One is Kevin and Corrine Cornell are for the first time grandparents. Leah and Cade had a baby girl this last week, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, Easton Eve Corrine. So you might want to text the grandparents and congratulate them. The other is our relationship with Fusion. Today when you walked in, you might have seen a table that was full of all kind of breads and buns and cakes. You're free to take as much as you want. And so make sure you don't leave without taking food with you. In his book called God's Psychiatry, Charles Allen tells this story. As World War II was drawing to a close, the Allied armies gathered up as many orphans as they could. They placed them in camps where they were well fed. Despite excellent care, they slept poorly. They seemed nervous and afraid. Finally, a psychologist came up with a solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to hold after they were put to bed. This particular piece of bread was just to be held, not eaten. The piece of bread produced wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing they would have something to eat when they woke up. What do you need in your hand to hold so you can sleep at night? Let's pray. Jesus, even as we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. You know all we need each day. You know when our cup is empty and how to fill it. Come bring your hope and peace that passes understanding. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in John chapter 6, verse 22 to 35. Ernie's going to put it on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. John 6, 22 to 35. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not gotten into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. But some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats, went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it's on him that God the Father has sent his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then so we might see it and believe in you? What work are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We come into the season of Lent, which is approximately 40 days or 6 weeks. This period of time gives us an opportunity to reflect on Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Often in this time period, Christians have been known to set aside things for a season, like certain foods, entertainment, screen time, certain hobbies or habits. Most of these things are good things, but even these we can live without. But there's one that we cannot live without, and that's Jesus. Also in these time periods, some look for ways that they could be generous or serving and helping others. This season can create an opportunity in your spiritual life as you hunger for more of God. We also stand with the poor and those who are experiencing injustice all over the world. In these 6 weeks, we're going to focus on the I Am sayings of Jesus, in particular from the book of John. When our home group was going through the Bible course, it touched on the passage in Exodus 3 with the burning bush where God speaks to Moses to go deliver his people from bondage in Egypt. Moses asks an interesting question. When the leaders of Israel ask, "Who sent me?" what should I say to them? And in Exodus 3:14, God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent you." Someone in our home group later asked, "Why does God call himself I am? What does that mean?" This is a good question indeed. Unlike all the other false gods in the world, God is saying, "I am the one God who is truly real." I am captures the mystery and the majesty of God. What proceeds next is the 10 plagues of Egypt that challenge or flatten every one of the gods of Egypt, really no gods of Egypt, or anywhere else on the earth. To Moses, "I am the God who delivers people from slavery and leads them to freedom." And this statement is true for us today. We might not be physical slaves, but it does not mean that we are not experiencing enslavement mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And God wants to lead us into this freedom that only He can provide. John chapter 6 starts out with Jesus preaching on the far side of the Sea of Galilee in the region called the Sea of Tiberias. And there are massive crowds following Jesus, because they've seen him do miraculous signs and heal the sick. Who here wouldn't want to see more miracles and more people healed? And then Jesus feeds the crowd. It says 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Even conservatively, if family units were a husband and wife and two children, you're looking at 20,000 people were fed with five small barley loaves and two fishes. Don Green, he said when he came in this morning, there were only five loaves of bread, and look what it turned into, a whole table full. And then Chris Harding said, "Well, where are the fish?" Have you been to the grocery store lately? Five small loaves and two fish are not going to feed a family of four, let alone 20,000 people. Do you wonder why Jesus was drawing attention? The mob wants to force Jesus to become king, so he slips away into the hills by himself. It is getting late, so the disciples decide to cross the lake to Capernaum by boat. They were hit by a storm, and then Jesus comes walking on the water and enters the boat, and it says immediately they arrived at their destination. And it's here where we pick up today's story in John 6:22. Where the next morning, the crowds realized that Jesus and his disciples were gone, so some of them got into boats and went to Capernaum to find them. In John 6:25, when some of the people got to the other side, they said to Jesus, "Rabbi, how did you get here?" They had seen the disciples get in a boat without Jesus, but we know from the text in chapter 6 that Jesus walked in the water, and that's how he got across. In John 6:26-27, Jesus answers them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it's on him that God the Father has set his seal." Jesus is just the best at not answering the crowd's questions about how did you get to this side of the lake. But he gets to the heart motivation. The reason these came to find Jesus is they like the free fast food of bread and fish. For people who are working for their daily bread and merely existing, free food is music to their ears. Wouldn't it be great if you never had to work again and food would just show up at your door? Oh, I guess we have that now, DoorDash and Skip the Dishes. But no matter how much food you have, it has to continually be replenished. Have you ever tried leaving a loaf of bread on the counter for a couple weeks. What happens? It'll eventually go moldy. You're right. At the start of John 6:4, it says, "Now the Passover feast was near." Every year, the people of Israel would come and commemorate the Passover meal. This was the reminder of the night when the destroying angel passed over their homes because they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. But any who did not do this were not spared. The Passover meal consisted of eating all of a lamb and then eating unleavened bread for the next 7 days. Unleavened bread with no yeast, because they didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. They had to get out of Dodge, out of Egypt in a hurry. Jesus will be the sacrificial lamb slain for the sins, and he symbolizes the Passover bread that will sustain our lives. Verse 27, Jesus shifts from physical food to offering them spiritual food and life. Sometimes we're so focused on the issue, the problem, right in front of us, we can't see anything else. We can't see the big picture. These people are looking for their next physical meal, but the one standing in front of them has the key to eternal life. Something everlasting is being offered to them. John 6:28. The crowd says, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Miracles for the sake of miracles means nothing. It's like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. Jesus answers their question, verse 29, saying, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me." The miracles are not what they should be seeking after, but the creator of the miracles. The Lord wants to bring wholeness to every part of our lives. This comes through an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus come from God the Father. Jesus is God. John 6, 30-31. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." The crowd is basically saying, "Prove it. If the messianic deliverer Moses provided the nation of Israel with bread from heaven, what can you do? If you are from God and our God, do a miraculous sign like what happened with Moses and the children of Israel." Do you remember the children of Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years? Deuteronomy 29, 5, it says, "For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out." And then in Psalm 78, 23, 25, it says, "For they did not believe God or trust him to care for them." I'm going to say that again. They didn't believe God or trust him to care for them. But he commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. The issue here is not where is the beef. It is, do you trust the one who daily supplies your bread? For they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. The problem isn't worrying about our next meal. It is, are you trusting the one who provides that meal? Jesus is the new manna, the new bread of heaven given to nourish our spiritual lives. Everything and anything depends on if we completely trust and give ourselves to Jesus. John 6, 32-33. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you." When Jesus says "very truly," it means this is really important. Get this. "I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The bread which God has given them can only be found in Jesus. The very things the crowd hungers for, the very thing we hunger for in our souls, can only be found in the Christ. John 6:34, the crowd says, "Sir, give us this bread always. Give us our daily bread." They just don't get it. They're still thinking Jesus is only talking about physical food. And then in verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Just like we need physical food and water, we even have a greater need in our daily spiritual food to maintain our souls, which can only be found in Him. In the average lifetime, the average person spends 3 years in business meetings, 13 years watching TV, spends $90,000 in food, consumes 110,000 pounds of food, makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's, spends $7,000 in vending machines, eats 35,000 cookies and 1,500 pounds of candy, catches 304 colds, is involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents, I may have taken some of yours, is hospitalized 8 times for men, 12 times for women, spends 24 years sleeping. If we were to take the time right now and I asked you to write your own eulogy while you're still alive, what would you like to have been known for? What would you want to be said of your life once you die? "I want to be known for more than having 304 colds in my life." What do you want to be known for? Has anyone ever asked you how you're doing? How do you answer that? "Well, it's been about 6 hours since I last ate food." Is that what they're asking? Or is there something deeper they're looking for? What are we hungry for? What do we have an appetite for? What are we seeking after? After Jesus feeds between 5 and 20,000 people, these who were quite literally fed up, only seem to have their minds on physical food. It wouldn't take long, and someone would want to market profit on what Jesus does. You could imagine minted t-shirts within a week, picture of five barley loaves, 2 fishes with a catchy phrase, "Jesus has served 20,000 hungry customers last week." Sometimes we find it very difficult in being able to separate how the spiritual world is supposed to work in our physical world. We want immediate results. We want miraculous results. We want all our problems and difficulties to go away now. But it doesn't seem like this is how God's kingdom works. What is our world hungry for? What does it think will fill the emptiness inside them? It usually starts with dollar signs, and then everything it'll buy, and then power to maintain their perceived freedom from any kind of authority or restrictions, and finally, the desire for acknowledgement, trying to give value to their lives. Often it seems like those with the wealth, the power, prestige, get to live their life by different rules, standards than everyone else, even when they collide with the laws of the land. But are the privileged any happier, content, or worry-free? It doesn't appear to be. Even when the fame of Hollywood gets married, everyone can't believe the marriage lasts for 5 years. Often their own perceived self-importance gets in the way of living in a sacrificial relationship. In what ways do we attempt to fill our hunger, as some would call sinful pleasures? So what does it mean when Jesus says he's the bread of life and whoever comes to him will never go hungry? What does God desire for us? Matthew 11:28-30, this is what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light that I give you." We experience rest and life, and they are sustained in our relationship with God. Sometimes we take the simplest things and try to make them hard and complex. Jesus calls all those who have hunger in their souls to come. Come sit in his presence. Come be filled by his word. Come be filled by the Holy Spirit. But most of all, come. Let's pray. God, we recognize our need for you completely surpasses everything else in our lives. In fact, we do not do well in life when we do not acknowledge your presence. And so we cry out this morning that you would come and meet us and fill us like only you can. Come give us your bread of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My eyes up to the mountain.
couple announcements. The benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, this week, Grief Share is starting here at the church. If you want information on that, you can contact church office or Ernie. We have a full slate open again, looking for teachers for ARC Sunday School that we're encouraging people to sign up for. This month again, and we're going to do a movie night that's going to happen. I think it's on Thursday, I think the 20th or something like that. But there will be popcorn here earlier. Jocelyn says, movie starts at 6:30, but if you want to get popcorn and other things, you want to come here at 6:15 to make sure you have enough time to do that. Last thing, if you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that will pray with you. Oh yes, by the way, we have the bread of heaven here on a table. And so make sure you take food with you when you go, because there's a lot of food. As you go under the sign of the cross, echoing the words of Isaiah 55 that Jackie read earlier. Those who are hungry, come and eat. Those who are thirsty, come and drink. It's free. It doesn't cost any money. What God wants to give us, what God wants to give you, can't be put in dollar signs. But he wants to come and fill us from the inside out. And when he does that, it changes everything. Amen.
Please stand as we close our service.